how it shows that. Throughout the parak mevav, let's review the pasuk. Vayivin pasuk yitesh. We began the pasuk. I know I promised you to make a photocopy. I just ran. I was going to do it this morning, but I ran out of time. So we'll do the best that we can without the picture. Okay, let's just see what we have over here. Pasuk yitesh. One more time. To bring you the actual harabites. Okay, we should all go together. Okay, pasuk yitesh. Vayivin bemav the malach. The Malach now is continuing to take Yechezkel on a tour of the Bayis Shalishi in a Nevuah. Vayivieni Vamavoy. He brought me through the passageway. Asher al Kesef Hashar, that is along the side of the gate. Perik Mem Vav. Perik Mem Vav Pasik Yutes. Vayivieni Vamavoy in the passageway. Asher al Kesef Hashar, that is along the side of the gate. El Halishkois Hakodesh to the chamber of the Kodesh Pirkama. Well, so El Halishkois Hakodesh El Hakohanim. Okay, towards the chamber that is designated for the Kohanim. Where is this chamber? Which chamber are we referring to? Hapoinois Tsofoina, which is along turns towards the northern side. Vihine Sham Mokoim Bayar Chosayim Yama, and there was a place. There was a place there by Yarchasayim towards the edge. Yarchasayim means towards the edge. So it means over here the Mitzuda says Bikotsev is left towards the edge. Yama along the west. He took me all the way to the western edge of this chamber. Now, which chamber are we referring to? So we don't have to remember all the details, but if you remember. Just put in your mind the big picture of the Bayis Shlishi, which can be broken up into a box within a box. Pretty much something along those lines. You have the big outer box. That is called the Chotzer HaChitzoina. And then inside the outer box, there is the Chotzer HaPinimis, the inner, that's the Azara. The Chotzer HaPinimis is what the equivalent of the Azara. And in the Azara, there is the Mizbeach, and that's where the Avodah took place. And then on the western side, towards the top of the Chotzer HaPinimis, you enter into the Ulam, the Heichol, the Kodesh HaKodash, and it takes you right in there. And that part really breaks out from the Chotzer HaPinimis into the territory of the Chotzer HaChitzoina. The Chotzer HaChitzoina encloses everything. In the center is the Chotzer HaPinimis, but the top, what we'll call the western section of the Chotzer HaPinimis, it opens up into the Ulam, the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which extends to the western side of the Chotzer HaChitzoina. So we know that in the Chotzer HaChitzoina, on the four sides, in the Chotzer HaChitzoina, there are four massive chambers, four massive structures in the Chotzer HaChitzoina, on the four sides, not on the four corners. That we're going to come to very, very soon. There's another thing in the picture, which we're going to see very, very soon. There are four smaller chambers, four smaller structures on the four corners of the Chotzer HaChitzoina had four small structures or chambers, which we're going to see later on. But we're not discussing those now. Right now we're discussing the structures that we spent a lot of time learning a couple of weeks ago. There were four major structures. These structures are three stories tall. Their dimensions were 100 amos long by 50 amos wide. There were these massive pillars along the side which gave it support, which took up space on the inside. And now we're discussing one of those four. Which one of those four are we discussing? The one that is in the northwest. The northwest of the structure is the box that we are describing. Okay, I'll try to show you here in this picture. Okay, I'll pick it up. It just gives a basic idea of what it looks like. If you remember, you can see this. You don't have to see all the details. Here is the big picture of the Bayis Shlishi. We spent so much time on this. You see the outside. Okay, the dark green border, that's the Chotzer HaChitzoina. And then you see right in the center, the Chotzer, another box, that's the Chotzer HaPinimis. And the Chotzer HaPinimis along the west opens up into the Ulam, the Heichal, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You notice along the tip, along the corner of the Chotzer HaPinimis are these one, two, three, four, the gray, are these four major structures. Okay, these were buildings. These are major buildings. Three story tall building. 100 amos, 200 feet by 100 feet. Okay, so it's a significant amount. 200 feet is pretty big. And how big is this shul? This side is about 200 feet. Anyone have any? How big is this?
Our lot this direction is 150 feet from front to back.
Front to back, 150 feet. So that's about, that's approximately, I mean, what is an amma? An amma is between 1.5 feet and 2 feet. Okay, so it's a pretty close, you know, it's even bigger than from here to here. That's really what these things, four of these. Okay, these are massive. Four of these, and each one of these is 3 stories tall. So for whatever reason, what are they doing these things? It doesn't really say. It doesn't say what they did in this, and this. It doesn't say. I have really no idea what was going on in there. There was a school, there was a yeshiva, there was a cheder. Who knows? There was training, there was rabbinic training.
Was there a dining room?
Oh, so the dining room, well, yeah, maybe, I mean, maybe there was. I don't know, it's not really clear. They each one had 3 stories. It had to be a dining room, but this, again, you have to remember, this area, what status did it have? Did it have the status, it was open, it was connected. So L'chaira, I think we learned before that even though it's not mamish inside the Chatzar HaPanimis, I think we learned before is that it had the status of the Chatzar HaPanimis because it was opened, because it was connected. And that's why they were allowed to prepare the Kodashim. They were allowed to actually prepare the Kodshei Kodashim. Kodshei Kodashim may not be taken outside of the Azara. It can only be inside Machane Shechina. Cannot go into Machane Leviya. The Har HaBayis is Machane Leviya. So being that it's over here in these rooms have to have the same status as Machane Shechina. So we're only going to discuss this one right over here. This one right over here is what we're going to discuss, and it's going to teach that in this chamber, the Malach took Yechezkel, he took him into the Azara, and in the Azara they walked all the way up to the top, to the west, so the top is the west, all the way to the top. They made a right to come to this edge, and in this edge there is a little passageway which takes you into this area over here, and there's a door, and then there's a door, and you come into this chamber on the northwest. That is what the Malach is doing in this passage. He's taking Yechezkel, he is escorting him through the Chatzar HaPanimis until they get towards the western edge of the Chatzar HaPanimis. They then make a right. They move all the way to the edge, the little teeny passageway to get out from the Chatzar HaPanimis into this long alleyway over here. And in that alleyway over there, you have a little section. There's a door which opens up into this structure. And what does he show them in this structure? In this structure, he shows them, he takes them all the way to the edge, it says, all the way to the end, to the west, and he shows them that they're preparing the Kodashim. They're cooking, they're preparing the Kodashim for the Kohanim to eat. A critical element of the Kapara, of a Karban, is the Kohanim must eat the Karban. The Ochlu Oysam Asher Kupar Bohem. The Kohanim will eat it, and through eating it, the person who brought the carbon will achieve atonement. When they eat it, they have to eat it, the Pasuk says, L'mashcha, in a state of greatness, in a state of royalty. That means they have gourmet chefs. They have the best of the best working there in this chamber over here. They bring in the best possible cooks who know how to prepare the most delicious meals. And they took the Kodashim, they added ingredients, spices, flavor, they knew exactly how to cook it the right way, so it should be delicious, and the Kohanim would eat it, and through their eating, this is what brought atonement for Klal Yisrael. This is something that is very unique to Jews, eating. Okay, it's not for nothing that we have a reputation of our holidays all revolve around food. Because Goyim, Korbanis by Goyim, and even traditionally in history, study all of the pagan religions, and Masechta Avodah Zarah and Daf Yomi is coming up not so far ahead. So in all the pagan religions, there's no such thing as eating. It doesn't seem to be that was a very common fact in the history of religions of the world, of those who offered sacrifices. Sacrifices were completely burnt. You bring a sacrifice, you kill the animal, and you offer it on an altar, and it's burnt. It's only by, and in fact, if a non-Jew wants to bring a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, he has only one option, a carbon oila. The carbon has to be completely burnt. That's the only option. A guy can come whenever he wants. It's basically based tefila l'chol ha'amim. The Beis HaMikdash is accessible, it is open, available for the whole world, not just for us. but they only can bring korbanos of oilos, which are completely burnt. It is only Klal Yisrael that has this very unique concept of that the vast majority of korbanos are eaten. Some are eaten by kohanim, all the kodesh kodashim, korban chatos, korban osham, by kohanim, and everything else, the kodesh kalim, are eaten by anyone, by the Baalim. They have to be eaten inside Yerushalayim. There are limits. It's Eden. What does that tell us? It tells us that Judaism is not a religion where it's you bring in sanctity into your mundane activities. It's you take Kedusha and you bring it into your daily life. You live a life. You enjoy this world to its fullest, but just make sure when you enjoy this world, you inject the pleasures of this world with Kedusha. You eat, enjoy what you're eating. They have the best gourmet, best cooks, the best people who are working in the Beis HaMikdash to prepare food for the Kohanim and for people who want, and for the Yisraelim. It's just that, it's holy meat. And when it's holy meat, you have to eat it with a degree of discipline, of sanctity. It has to be with Kedusha, with the bracha, v'chulu v'chulu, all of these things that we take, Baruch Hashem, we take for granted. We understand these things because Baruch Hashem was brought up with this. But into the rest of the world, this is a very foreign concept. By Goyim, if you're religious, it means complete separation from this world. Yeah. But Catholics, they're not allowed to get married. A priest is not allowed to be married. You have to be completely separated from anything of this world, completely devoted. There's no such thing by Klal Yisrael. L'sheves, even the great, a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be a Kohen Gadol if he's not married. Okay? And you talk about the spitz of the religion, of the world, Catholicism. Okay, the Protestants really is a breakaway, if I'm not mistaken, right? It's not what? Martin Luther. So it's not the real deal.
They allow them to get married.
The Protestants are. The Protestants are, but not the Catholics.
That
I mean,
it was only later on in the Middle Ages that became the rule initially.
Oh, also, they're initially who?
The church allowed priests to get married initially.
Catholics.
They only started later when the church, it was a monetary decision, before then they would have to support a priest who
and a family. Ah. Okay, very interesting.
When it happened.
Very
initially they did,
but it has to be more. I hear what you're saying. I accept everything that you're saying to be 100% accurate. But there also has to be an element is that that's how they differentiate themselves from us. Chazal say this. Chazal talk about this. Is that they can't allow a priest to get married because that really really means it's Judaism. What is Judaism? Judaism, the whole mahos of Judaism is to elevate the mundane. To elevate the mundane, you have to be a participant. You have to engage, be part, and you have to be married. You have to do all of these things. But by them, they don't have this. That's where they're different. All right. Any event, this is what is very critical. That's what this pasuk is coming. End of this pasuk Yitess. So let's see the words of the Mitzudos and Rashi to clarify. Now we saw the picture at least a little bit. Try to get a better idea, even if you have every single detail. But the basic gist of the pasuk is pretty simple of what's happening over here. Pasuk Yitess in the Mitzudos David.
Rabbi, you mentioned that doesn't say what is in these chambers. Does the Basimikas have some possessions? Somebody donates a library or...
Okay, so I guess that's what it's storage. Storage. I guess that's what it's for. There's so much of it. You're dealing over here with three buildings like this. Okay, the size of this building, three stories. It's even bigger than this building. Three stories.
He was very wealthy. He was wealthy.
And it depends. There were different periods of time.
We're talking about
we don't know what's going to be.
So we don't know what we're going to have there.
We don't know what's going to be. It could very well be there's going to be a Bati Midrashim and Koilim, and there's training programs for Rabbanim and training programs for Kohanim. They need the space. It's a campus.
That's where you put your cell phones when you go into the
mountain. Cubbies. Is there Wi-Fi? So it's a campus. It's a major... Look, the Yerushalayim has that. I was told has Wi-Fi. The whole Yerushalayim has Wi-Fi now. That's what I was told for free. Such a thing? Are you talking? So the whole camp. It's a massive campus. It's a camp. Yeah.
And where was the mikvah again?
The what?
The mikvah.
The mikvah. Yeah. They were all over the place. There were mikvahs all over the place. There was a mikvah on Har Abay. Probably we don't know all the details, but it has to be there were mikvahs all over the place. It's such a basic component of tahara. So there was also basements, all different things. I mean, these are just a sketch. These are just like a skeleton image, a bare skeleton. We learned all these stuff about what probably it really will be, and even when we describe Masechta Midos of what was. in Bayesheni, it's also, it's not a full detailed understanding of what was. And also you have to remember things changed over time. 410 years, obviously there were always upgrades or downgrades, whatever it was, things are always changing. Okay, let's run through the Pasuk Yitzes and the Mitzvot Tzav. We can get a little bit of a gist of what's called the Pasuk Yitzes, describing the architecture. Vayevienim, the Mitzvot Tzav, Pasuk Yitzes, Perek Mem Vav, Pasuk Yitzes. Hamalach Adav Bihaviyani B'derech Shbiya. He brought me in. He brought me inside. Shaya Be'ever Hashar Hatzvayni. He brought me towards the northern gate. Shel Chotzer Hapenimi. B'soif Hakoysel Klapi Ma'ariv. He took me in through on the side of the north. In other words, I'm inside. Right now, I'm inside the Chotzer Hapinimis. And the Chotzer Hapinimis has three entrances: the east, the north, and the south. The north is on the left side. In the way, in the picture we just had before, it's on the right side. The north is on the right side. So he took me in that area, near adjacent to the northern gate, which is on the right side, and we moved all the way up to the top, which means we moved all the way towards the west, and there was a teeny little opening there which took us outside. We were able to exit the Chatzar HaPanimis to go now into an area that was in between the Heichol and this structure, this massive structure, which was one of four structures.
You're still talking about the
Bayashlishi. Only the Bayashlishi. Only, even though I always, by mistake, say in the past tense. What?
How do you do this?
The Malach, this Nevuah, this is prophecy.
Totally
Nevuah. Totally Nevuah. And all of the Nevi'im, it's pure prophecy. Everywhere which comes out that will be mentioned, I mean, 95% is all HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to them, and they are communicating a message from Hashem, and it's being preserved, it's being presented here. So the Malach brought me b'derech bi'a shahai b'eva hashar tzvani eshlochot v'apanimi v'besev ha'kaisel klav v'marav b'derech ha'amah ha'pruitzo. There was a tea, there was one amah escape, exit, to leave the Chotzer HaPanimis in that corner of the Chotzer HaPanimis, which took us to this area. K'mo sh'nemar v'lefnei l'shochais derech am achas. It says, we learned this before, is that there was an opening of one amah which allowed me to go through, to enter into this area. Next words of the Mitzvot, el ha'lishchos ha'kodesh v'derech amah v'yahu l'heviyani el tzad ha'lishchos. He brought me to a chamber, el mekoyim ha'koyhanim, loy litzad ha'mesiba v'hatzla'os asher yikush gam heima b'shem l'shochais. He just, don't get confused, because we learned that on the adjacent to the Heichol and the Kodesh HaKodashim, there were also 33 Lashachis. Okay, those were called the Ta'im. You have the Heichol, the Kodesh HaKodashim, and there was three levels, those were the Ta'im. In the Bayis Sheni, there were 35, or no, I'm sorry, 38, there were 38, and in the Bayis Shlishi, there will be only 33. Those were teeny little chambers. So don't get confused. We're not discussing that. The Malach is not taking me to those chambers. By the way, what were those chambers used for? We have no idea. We have no idea. What were those 33? What will they be used for? What were the 38 chambers of the Bayis Sheni? What were they used for? We have no idea. Storage. They must have stored. What do they need to store? I don't know. Maybe they did other things there. Whatever was done. But here we're going to the structure. And the structure over here is this is the massive structure. Ashayiku gamhim b'shem l'shachis. Dibra maslo b'hapoinet safayna el halashachis shebipas safon. There were four identical structures like this. We're discussing the one that's on the north side, the northwest. The hinei sham reisi shamakim muvdol the gadur b'chol roichav chalal avir ha'eshrim ama. I saw a place that was in the space of the 20 amos shvein halashachis b'soif ha'cholul klavi ma'ariv. I saw an area that was set aside along the width of the Chalal Avir. There were 20 amos of empty space between this chamber, this structure, and the Heichol, the edge of the Heichol, the Toim. And what did I see over there? Okay, so let's read this passage one more time, just to get clarity. The Malach took me through the passageway. Asher, which passageway am I referring to? It's the one that's going to be used to exit the Chotzer HaPanimis. Which side of the Chotzer HaPanimis? There are four sides. There is the north, the south, the east, and the west. So here he's going to describe it as the northwest. Asher, which passageway? Al-Kesef, the side. Hashar, of the gate. El-Halishkois, HaKodesh, HaKoyhanim, this passageway will take me to the chamber of the Kodesh of El HaKoyhanim, which was designated for the Koyhanim, HaPoynois Tzofoina, which was on the north side. And there was an area, an open area there along the edge, the west edge. So the way the Mitzvah understands this is that we're not even referring to the chamber itself. We're referring to the open area that was adjacent to this chamber. I'll just very quickly look and show you the picture again. What it appears to be saying over here is, look at this picture, and here's the picture of the Bayit Shlishi. It appears as referring to this open area. This open area is what we're referring to. The light green in between this beige and the blue. The blue is the Heichal, the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Heichal. This is that one of four chambers. It seems as referring to this open space, not inside, over here. And here is where all the activity is going to be taking place, the cooking of the Korbanos. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Yates. Vayevienu v'amamoy derech ho'amo. He summarized what the Mitzvah said very quick, very short, very concisely. He took me through this small passageway on the corner of the Chotzer HaPanimis, which was one amma wide, which takes me into an open area that is in between, it's 20 amos wide, that is in between the Beis HaChalifa, is the edge of the Ulam, which is along the Ulam, the Heichal, the Kodesh HaKodashim, and this massive structure on the other side. There's an open area out there in the middle. Asher El Kesef Hashar, Hashar HaTzafani. Which side are we discussing? The north or the south? The north, along the side of the gate, which gate? Hashar HaTzafani, Kesef Hashar, the side of the gate. Asher min Hashar, from that area of the north, Lamarov going up, higher up towards the west, which is that area that we described. Ha'poino sefaina, sheyesh lam psachim letzad chotzer achitzayna, it has an opening towards the chotzer achitzayna, latzafayin, because the chotzer apanimis has an opening towards the north, upsachim hayu lohem la'avir ho'eshrim, there was an opening there, for that area, that mava that we are describing, it's taking you to this area that was 20 amos wide, in between these two sections. Bayar Chasaim Yama besoif at the edge halashachis lemarav towards the west. Keep on going higher and higher until you reach that area along the west. Until you get to that open area of 20 amos between these two areas, I'm going to show you something taking place over there. What's going to happen over there? Pasachov. Vayoymer Eli, the Malach said to me, Ze Hamokoim, this open area, these 20 amos, in between these two, the structure and the Heichal, is where all the cooking is going to take place. They're going to set up grills and ovens, and this is outdoors. See, that's, I made a mistake, I thought it was inside. No, it's telling you that it's in the open area. It's in the open area, not inside. In this location, they're going to set up the ovens, the grills, all of their tools. Vayoymer Eli, Ze Hamokoim, Pasuk Chaf. Asher yivashlu shom hakoyhanim es ha'asham v'yesachatos t'kabin ashm t'kabin chatos asher yoifu es ha'mincha. Likewise, they're also going to bake the menachos levilti hoitzi el hechotzer hachitzayna. This is the dedicated place where it's going to be prepared, and don't take it to the outside, don't take it to the other areas of the chotzer hachitzayna, because those areas where the common man roams around. If you're going to take into that area, then you're going to mislead the people. You're going to think that the people, the common man, is going to be holy and allowed, he's entitled to touch and they may come to contaminate these holy items. Let's see the Mitzudos Dar Pasukhov. Levilti Hoitzi. The reason why I'm dedicating for you an area in this section, because I do not want you to take the food outside. This area, this 20 amos, this area, this open space between the Heichal and this chamber shall be designated for the purpose of cooking. Kidei, so that, shlo yotziyem achar habishul, do not take the food out after you finish cooking, el hechotzer achitzoyna, ritzoyna loymar, el mekoyim drisas ragle Yisrael shu hachitzoyna lemokoyim drisas ragle hakoyhanim. Don't take it to the other sections of the Beis HaMikdash where a common man stands. Ki im yivashlu bo azara v'mokam drisa sragli hakoyhanim. If you're going to cook the kadoshim in the azara itself, bekal yishkechu lehoitziam l'mokam drisas ragle yisra, because then it'll be very, very easy to forget, since you've been big in one big open area. If you're actually going to cook the kadoshim inside the azara, yisraelim were also walking around over there. As long as they were tahar, they were allowed to be there. And when they were there, they would come there to bring korbanos. They would come into the azara. They would do smicha on the animal that they would do. They would say vidu. They would do different things. But we do not want them to mingle with the kohanim who are cooking and preparing the kadoshim, because it's going to give them the wrong impression. They're going to get too familiar with kadoshim, and they're going to think that they're holy, that they're no different than the kohanim. There has to be a very clear distinction. That's the message we're learning over here in these psukim. In the times of Mashiach, there has to be a very clear distinction who you are and who you're not. Everyone has a role. Do not assume that you can do the role, you can stand in the shoes of someone else. The Kohanim have their job, a Levi has his job, a Yisrael has their job. If everyone's going to be mixed together, mingled together, then people are going to be misled, and everyone's going to be the same. That's what America is all about. In America, it's the land of opportunity. As long as you work hard, you can be anything you want. There's no limit. That's the mindset that Baruch Hashem was brought up with. It's a very healthy mindset, is that you can be whatever you want. In ancient times, it was not like that. If you were born, if your parents were silversmiths, coppersmiths, that's it. There's nowhere to go. There's no opportunity. You're not going to be able to be a doctor. You're not going to be a lawyer. If this is what your family is, this is what it is. If you're a farmer, so your children will be farmers. If you're a doctor, so that's what you pass down to your children. That's not the way we live today. Today is either whatever your father is. I'm not gonna do that. My father's a rabbi. No way. Why am I going to be a rabbi? Okay. So that's the mindset we live in today. So here in the times of Yechezkel, Hashem is telling us, Yechezkel, is that in times of Mashiach, you know, it's a very good thing, but you know, watch out. In the Beis HaMikdash, you're not a Kohen. Kohanim are unique. They are the ones who do the Avodah, they're the ones who cook the Kodashim, and therefore we want to designate a special location for their Avodah, where they do not mingle with the common man, so the common man should not get the impression, I can also be a Kohen, I can also do the same thing. No, you can't. The point is that Yisrael can't do his avoda. Okay, obviously there's a balance. You know, not everyone is cut out for everything. Let's see. So the locating kishivashlo b'kam achuki ba'avur she'ayitzia misham he bepirat said the chuka. So he's telling us something very interesting. We asked this question before, why are the exits so teeny, they're so small? Today in architecture, that's not the way it works. When you build a building, the entrance and the exit has to be done in a way where the bigger the building is, the more exits, the more open, the more people are able to leave. So here, the Beis HaMikdash, this section is by design, it's a teeny, teeny little exit. Why? By design, that it limits the number of people who can go there. It's not for the common man. The only one that's allowed to go through this exit is only Yechidim, only a select few. And therefore, as a protection, to make an impression, that's why it's so small. Yizkor badavar ad shelo yoytzi. Then in parentheses he writes, av shebuchal korcho yoytzi misham lahaviyam el halashocha yisoyim dim mitachas umimal lo'ochlam sham. Anyway, they have to go out there to eat. Avul hoil v'tia derech havore. Ein lochush ki bezel lo yachshavu shegam ha'am mikudoshim lochlam. Okay, I don't know the exact translation of the words, how you would define this, but it means over here is a balance. People have to go there anyway to these areas to eat, to be there, but the exits are very, very small to create the impression that this is off limits for, you know, for what's the expression for employees only, right? You go to a facility.
Authorized personnel
only. You have to have special rite of passage. Lekadesh esam, in order they should not cause to sanctify the people. What does that mean? Return to Lamash. If they're going to cook the food in the Azara, then the people, the common man, is going to get the wrong impression. He's just as holy as the Kohanim. Lechol imohem bekodshei hakodashim. Okay, let's see. Rashi pasuk chaf levilti hoitzi kemol lehoitzi shekach hakadoshem nifsal biyotze. He has a different little bit of a twist. Is that if they're going to be able to cook the meat anywhere they want, then it'll be very easy for them to, by mistake, take the kodesh kodashim outside of the azara, and then the kodesh kodashim becomes pasul with yotzei. Yotzei, if meat of kodesh kodashim is taken outside the azara, it can no longer, it has to be burnt. Therefore, we designated a special place that had the kedusha, which has the sanctity of kodesh of the azara. And in this place, since it's so limited, it's small, and it's on the side, it serves as a reminder that the meat should not leave its mechitzos from its dedicated place. L'kadesh ha'sa'am, t'gimgonasam le'is orava, to mingle im amah, to mingle with the people. Pasuk chaf aleph, next part of the tour. Okay, we're up to the next part of this tour of the Bayis Shlishi. Vayotzieni elachatzar achitzoyna. Now the malach. Now here he's taking us into the four corners. Now this probably many of us are familiar with. Or if you picture in your mind the image of the Bayis Sheni or the Bayis Rishon, and picture in your mind the Ezras Noshim in front of Shar Nikanor. And everyone knows there are four boxes on the corner of the Ezras Noshim in the Bayis Sheni and the Bayis Rishon. There are four corners. What does dawn in those four corners? So the Mishnah says those four corners were used for different, for kerbal. We'll see it inside in a few moments in the Radak. He goes through all the details what they were used for kerbonos. One was for the Nazir. Every time a Nazir came to the Beis Hamidrash, he needed a special carbon. That's where he would purchase the Nazir. One corner was used to store the wood for the Mizbeach. And not only do they store the wood, they work there. They work there inspecting the wood, cutting the wood to make sure the wood is just perfect to be put on the Mizbeach. Another chamber was used for to store, I think, the animals. And another chamber was used to store the, all of the menachos, the flour, the oil. There was a shop. If you had an obligation to bring a carbon, you would buy a ticket. And then you would come to the Beis Hamikdash, you would present the ticket, and they would give you the oil and the flour and the animal. So there was a special, the salt, all the things that you need for your carbon were purchased in one of those four chambers. So this is in the Bayis Sheni, Ezras Noshim, which is what we call now the Chatzar Achitzoyna. It opens up and it's on the east side. There's only an east side. And the Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, there is nothing on the north, nothing on the south. There's nothing there. That's already part of the Har Bayis. There is the Azara, and in front of the Azara on the east side, there is what was called the Ezras Noshim. There were 15 magnificent steps leading up to the entranceway into the Azara called Shar Nikanor, with these two massive, massive doors that were donated by Nikanor, which came to Yerushalayim through miracles. And on those 15 steps, the Levim stood. They stood when they played their musical instruments for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The Simchas Beis HaShoeva took place in the Ezras Noshim. The Noshim were on the balcony after everything was said and done, after the different process of how it evolved. The end was that they built a balcony on top, and the women stood on top and they looked down from below, and the men were dancing below in this open area. That was the Ezras Noshim. And in the corner, in the four corners of this chamber, there were four chambers, lishkos. Now, here is telling us something very interesting, is that these four lishkos will also appear in the Bayis Shlishi. But in the Bayis Shlishi, they're not going to appear on the east side. They're going to appear on the four corners of the Chatzer HaChitzayna. So here's the picture. Okay, here is again the picture, the basic picture of the Beis HaMikdash. Here you see this big green box is the Chatzer HaChitzayna. Here we have this box, the Chatzer HaPnimis with the Mizbeach, and the Ulam Heichal, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And we have here these four major structures. And look at the corners. Look now at the extreme four corners. One, two, three, four. In these four extreme corners are the four lishkos. These four lishkos are the four lishkos that we are familiar with from the Bayis Sheni in the Ezras Noshim. In the Bayis Sheni, there was nothing on the sides. Nothing. It was just in front, this little area, small area in the front. And in that small area, there were four boxes. So now those four boxes are spread out on the four corners. So that is what the Malach is showing Yechezkel. Daf Bayis Shlishi. You see, it's really the other way around. The Malach showed this to Yechesel al Bayis Shlishi, and the Bayis Sheni, they took those four corners and they brought them into the Ezra Snoshim to Mekayim, what it says. Okay, one second, let me turn to the page. Okay, so Vayotzieni Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayotzieni Lachatzah Chitzayna, Vayavireni, and he brought me, he escorted me, El Arbahas Miktzoei HaChatzer, the four corners of the Chatzer, the Hinei Chatzer, there was a corner B'Miktzoya HaChatzer, Chatzer B'Miktzoya HaChatzer, it was enclosed. It was enclosed. There was also a roof on top. We'll see. This is just a way of writing. It's an elaborate, poetic way of describing these four corners. In the corner, there was a corner within the chotzer, within the chotzer, the big chotzer. Within the big chotzer, there were four little, small courtyards. This is the next pasuk. Pasuk habeis. Biarbas miktzoyse chotzer. In the four corners of the massive chotzer. Chatzerois kituros. The word kituros is an unusual word, which means smoke. Which means there was smoke coming up. Okay, what was the smoke? We'll see in a moment. It means smoke coming up. Arboim oirech u'shloishim roichav. The dimensions were 40 amos wide, 40 amos long, and 30 amos wide. Mida achas le'arbatom, for all four, me huk tsa'os, from the corners. The word me huk tsa'os is like a kitzoya from the corners. Now let's see these two psukim together. Pasuk chaval chabez mitzudos David, vayotzieni bederech o'ama haprutza. He took me through this ama. He took me back. I guess whatever. He took me to one of these entranceways. V'inei chotzer b'miktzoy chotzer v'esishu b'chol arba b'miktzoy sechotzer hoyek v'inyin chotzer ketana b'chol echad b'chol zavis. In each corner of this massive structure, there was a small little enclosure. The next words, chabez, bi'arbas, ritzon eloymar, hachatzero shohoyu, bi'arbas hamiktsaos, the chambers, the enclosures that were present in the four corners, hoyu chatzeros kituros. So what does it mean, kituros? Now, kituros literally means smoke. And here he explains the means, ritzon eloymar, lo hoyu mikoros, they were not, there was no ceiling. There was no ceiling. Aval hayu pesuchos mimal leman yetzei kitar ha'ashan mitav eras ha'esh k'moish amu raboseinu zal. In order that the smoke can go up. The reason why we're calling it, it's a borrowed term. The reason why we call these rooms smoke rooms, it means there was no ceiling. Because if there was a ceiling, then the smoke would have been contained. It would have been trapped. And that would have caused, it would have damaged, you couldn't go in there.
Harmful.
So therefore, being that the way we describe a room that has no ceiling is with the word smoke, which implies the smoke was able to escape.
Ventilate.
Arboim oirech mimizrach lamarav. The dimensions was 40 from mizrach lamarav, which means from bottom to top. Ushleishim roichav mitzafon ladaroim le'arba'otam mehuk tzaos return lemar kein hoyu la'arba hachatzeros asher hoyu b'miktzois hachatzer gedola. This was the same dimensions for all four things out of the four corners. Rashi pasuk chaval mechabez Rashi miktzoya. Okay, what does that word mean?
Corners
chabez chatzeros kituros shonin b'mesech demidos ein kituros ela she'enon mikoyros. These four enclosures did not have ceilings. The sham mifoyresh mahoyu misham, just what they were used for. We'll see in a moment. In the Radak, mehuk tzaos bezavios, in the corners, miktzaos echatzer of, in the corners of these of the large courtyard. Now let's see the Radak. He tells
significance of the fact that the mehuk tzaos has all these dots on top.
Oh, I don't know. I did not see. Maybe I passed it up in the Radak. I did not see. I was wondering the same thing. Why are there dots? Why are there so many dots? I do not know. It's a very basic question.
He doesn't tell you, but he says it's 1 of 15.
1 of 15 in the Mechashai. 1 of 15 places where you have you have a word with dots.
Which word are we speaking
about? Why are there dots? So I didn't see anything. Let's see. I really want to look into that. Just in
our edition doesn't have that. Our edition does.
Do you have there? Do you have in the English article? Does it have a comment?
Yeah. Is there a comment?
This is on the bottom. Explain why there are dots. That's where I would have looked. First place to look.
Okay.
No, it doesn't say.
So doesn't say anything.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Sometimes it means it's not like that.
A dot means delete.
Which means it didn't have a root.
No, it's only dimensions. The word over here, mehuk tsaos, means corners. Corners. And there are dots. Sometimes when there's a dot, the dot tells you to delete a letter, to delete a word, and read it as if it's not written, as if the word doesn't exist. So that would mean that if you take away the word, if that approach is correct in this particular instance, take away the word, and that would then mean is that there were four of them, and the four were not necessarily along the corner. Now, but it says before in the pasuk, in the beginning, be arbas miktsaos. It already said it was in the corner. So why is it repeated? And now that it's repeated, why there are dots? I don't know. Let's see over here what is in the Radak. The Radak just tells us what Rashi omitted. What Rashi was mikatsa. What was the purpose of these four rooms? Let's see pasuk. The Radak pasuk chaf aleph chaf beis. We'll read it very quickly. He took me to Chatzah Chitzonah, which we call the, all those that open area. It was what we call Ezras Nashim. The El Arbas Miktzoei Chatzer Zavios Chatz, the corners. Vehine Chatzer B'Miktzoei Chatzer B'Chol Achas Me'Arbas Zavios Echa Haisa Chatzer. There was a courtyard. These courtyards, these enclosures served as a chamber, as a function of a storage room, a room, or some type of utility room. Ezras Nashim. So here he's coming to equate the Ezras Nashim of the Bayis Sheni with what it says over here in the Bayis Shelishi. In the Bayis Sheni, there was only one area called the Chotzer HaChitzoyna that was on the east side, east of the Azara. And indeed, in this area of the Ezras Nashim, there were four different enclosures along the corner. Ezras Nashim, a chaisa, chaisa arich mea ushleshim v'chamesh. The width, the length was 135. Al roichav mea ushleshim v'chamesh by 135. It was a square. The arba l'shachos chayu bi arba miktsoy sech. And there were four different chambers along the four corners. Shel arboim amah. Okay, and it says here the dimensions were different. It says they were 40. It doesn't say anything about 30. It just says that there were 40.
Well, it depends which way you're going.
Okay. And there was no roof. And that's what's going to be the Bayis Shlishi. There's no roof. Here we go. The south, east, which means the bottom. The bottom left. He hoysa lishkas hanazirim. What does that mean? Shasham hanazirim mevashlim es shalmehen umegalchem es sa'aran umashlichim tachas hadud. A nazir, upon the conclusion of his term, would shave off his hair and would throw the hair into the fire which he used to cook the carbon shlamim. A nazir brings the carbon shlamim. Every Bible Chazal teaches us that every bachur, it was like a rite of passage. Every bachur learned in Koilo, okay, but whatever. And then part of growing up was you were a nazir. Chazal tells us this. It was very common. It's even this apostate in Navi. The bachurim were the nazirim. Every young man, when you go to yeshiva, part of going to learn in Beis Medrash post high school, or even maybe high school, was to be a nazir. We think about being a nazir, they're like this exotic thing. You think about these people walking around by the car, you go to the Kaisel, you see these people which they have this long hair. Oh, this guy must be like one of these, he's a nazir, right? That's not, first of all, nazir means 30 days. You only have to go, most people don't take a haircut for at least 30 days. So they wait probably 2 months, don't take a haircut, many people. So nazir, only nazir for 30 days. And you don't, and during the nazirus, you don't drink wine. So most young people anywhere are not allowed to drink wine, right? Until you're 18, anyway, you're not allowed to drink wine. 21, 18, whatever it is. You're not allowed to drink alcohol. Go to a cemetery? Who goes to cemeteries? You go to a cemetery once a year, twice a year. Who's interested in running the cemeteries? What? So the truth is, you don't know who's a nazir. The average person could be a nazir. What's the big deal? You don't take a hiccup for 30 days? And you don't drink alcohol? And you don't go to a cemetery? 99% of the population does this for 30 days. They go without alcohol and without going to a cemetery, without taking a hiccup. What? So it's no big deal. However, it is a big deal because when in your mind, if you can't do it, you go crazy. It's one thing, you can do whatever you want. I just happen not to get around to doing it yet. But when you mitzvah v'oiseh, you're not allowed to drink wine. You're not allowed to be matam l'meis. You can't take a haircut. It creates a whole different impression in your mind. So it says in the Chazal that every young man, every bachor, as he grew up, would be required, part of the process of chinuch, to be a nazir.
When is that?
It was very common.
Talking
about time when there was a Beis HaMikdash. When there was a Beis HaMikdash. And then when they finished, how long was the Nazirus? So it could be for 30 days. A minimum of 30 days. If you want to do it for longer, you can do it long. You can do whatever. You can specify how many times, or you can do it in multiple terms. Every 30 days you go through the process. All over again. You do it for a year. You do it for a year, 12 times. Every Rosh Chodesh, you come to the Beis HaMikdash, you shave off your hair, and you bring this, what? Get a free haircut. And you bring a carbon shalomin. So this room was very, this was a very busy place. We think they have a whole section dedicated just for Nazirim. Come on, how many Nazirim in our mind, you grow up, how many Nazirim do you know? One or two, not even that. They have a whole room in the Beis HaMikdash in the Eshes Nashim for the Nazir? Yeah, that's right. Because everyone was a Nazir. It was a very common thing, especially among young people. It was part of your rite of passage to become an adult. Yibar Mitzvah. After Yibar Mitzvah, you go to Yeshiva, you were disciplined. Not like today.
The father can make the son a Nazir.
The father only was a child. Only when before Bar Mitzvah, I think. Before Bar Mitzvah. But it was a Nashim also. A Nisha can be a Nazir. What? Nisha can be a Nazir. So it was a, they probably have shidduchim there now because they all had to bring the karbanos. So they probably always met some girls there, right? It was a special place, a singles event.
Mixer.
A singles event. You can doesn't say anywhere they had a mechitza. It doesn't say anywhere that in this room it was a mechitza. It doesn't say that. It was an open room. The boys can see the girls. They get to meet each other. They make some shidduchim. It took place in this room. Who knows? Yes, how did you meet your wife? I met her in the nazir room. Okay, so here it says, "Umeshalchem Mizrachis." Now we go to the second. The second was Mizrachis Sefinus. What was the Mizrachis Sefinus? This is the bottom right. He Haysalishkas Dir Ha Eitzim. This is where they store the wood. Shasham Hakayhanim Bale Mumim Maslim Bo'etzim, they would remove the worms. They inspected the wood that was used to burn the korbanos. Why did they need inspection? If the wood was moist due to an infection from a worm, so then it would produce smoke. When it would be burnt on the mizbeach, it would produce smoke. That is not proper. When it burns on the mizbeach, you don't want the wood to produce smoke. The only thing which produces smoke is the meat, the fats. But the wood itself, it's not ideal. It's not a hiddur if the wood is moist and it produces smoke. So they only allow on the mizbeach the best of the best. And Kohanim sat there the whole day inspecting the wood and preparing the wood for the mizbeach.
Why did they have to be ba'al mumim?
Because if they were not ba'al mumim, they would be able to do the avoida. Then they would be able to do better things. It seems that there was a shortage of manpower. And those who were fit, who were able and fit, they would be requested to do the avoda mamish. So who was left over to do the to remove the worms and inspect those who were balimum who were not fit to do the avoda? So finally, smaravasi. Then we go to we're going over counterclockwise. If you notice, that the finally smaravas, that's the top right. He chayis alishkas hamitzodaim. that's where a metzora would go, maybe for inspection, maybe also to bring the korbanos. Marav is toraymis. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov shachachti. I don't remember. Can you imagine a shachachti? I forgot. Lo ha'isa mishameshes. Abba shol oimer shem ha'yu nois the yain v'shem. That was the place where you would get your ticket. You would bring your ticket. You buy a ticket on the Har Bayis. Why they? You come pass through security. What are you coming here for? What's your business here in the Beis Hamikdash? I want to bring a carbon. I want to bring a carbon to the Beis Hamikdash. So they would say, what kind of carbon? I want to bring a carbon shlam. What kind of animal do you want to buy? You want to buy a par, an ayil, a keves, what kind of animal? Because each one has a different amount of oil and flour. We learned yesterday, day before. So you would tell them what kind of carbon you want to bring, and they would say the cost is $100. You know, we take only American Express in Israel. So, swipe your American Express card, and they give you a ticket. And you take your ticket and you go to the, or you can pay with your smartphone. It's an app, you know, to purchase. And they right away have a record. You come to this chamber and right away they look it up. It's going to be computerized for sure. And they see what you have, your ticket, whatever it is. And they say, okay, here it is. They give you the requisite amount of oil and flour. And you proceed into the Chatzar HaPanimis. And a Kohen greets you. And he says, how can I help you? And you tell him your averos and why you're here. And here is my mincha, my carbon, and here's my mincha. And he says, okay, let us proceed. And they bring the carbon. The Kohen helps him bring the carbon. He brings the carbon for him. Shem ha'yu nois the yayin v'shemen v'hi ha'yisa nikreis lishkas beish shemanya. It was called beish shemanya oil. V'chaloko ha'yisa v'rishayna. And it was smooth v'rishayna. Ulamala, in other words, there was. I think it means chalaka. I think it means it was just one. I have a chalaka. It was a chalaka. I don't know what this means. Ulamala kisavtiya v'arboim sha'amr hamishnah ba'orich. When it says in the Mishnah 40, it means 40 in length, but the width was 30, like it says over here. Ba'orich v'etz olema avavorich v'lohaisa ela shloishim k'moshem shnem, like it says over here. 30. Okay, let's go further. Let's go now to the next pasuk. Pasuk. Let's jump ahead and try to finish up this parak. Pasuk Chaf Gimel. What left is here about the Beis Hamikdash? Pasuk goes on to say the tour saviv bohem saviv le'ar batam. There was a row, along the wall. There was a row along the wall of the chatzer. Umivashlois asui, and this row was made for cooking purposes. Mitachas hatiroi saviv, beneath the row. Now that's a little complex. I think there's some pictures. I have in the other book picture what this means. Let's read one more pasuk, and we explain the mesudas. Vayomer Eli, the Malach said to me, Eile beis hamavashlim. This is the section where cooking takes place. Asher yivash lusha mishorse habayis es zeva ha'am. Now let's see these two pasuk in the mesudas. Pasuk of Gimel, the tour saviv bohem. Shura shel avonim rechavos bolta mechoimas hakoisel smisaviv samech alakarga. Now this goes along, if not mistaken, the entire wall of the chatzar hachitzayna. Along
inside,
outside. Inside. See, if you look at this picture over here. Okay, the picture we're using, the green. Okay, along the green. If you look, what an inside, and you can't see it. You can't see in this picture, but there are like little boxes, little green boxes.
In the original diagram, we have these little gray areas just
on the inside.
The wall.
So inside the wall, the chotzer hachitzoina.
The chotzer hachitzoina are inside these.
No, not inside these rooms. When it says here a tour, it's referring to a row of like circles, of open areas to put pots.
Called it masonry.
Masonry, which was made, what they had was on the bottom, there was fire. They were continuously supplying fuel to the fire, and there were then there was a level of stone, and then in the stone you would put your pot, or you put a grate, and you would put your pot on top of the grate. And people who came to bring a carbon shlam, and most of the korbanos were kodshei kalim, and kodshei kalim do not need to be eaten; it could be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. But the preparation was done here in the chatzar hachitzena. This is not to be confused with what we started with. We started about eating the preparation of the kodshei kodoshim. The kodshei kodoshim can only be eaten by the kohanim, and it was done in that open area, this area that we discussed, in between this lishka, this chamber, and the heichal. In this area right here is where the Kohanim would prepare the Kodshei, would prepare the Kodshei Kodoshim. But along the entire area of the Chatzer HaChitzayna on the inside is where the common man would prepare his own Kodshei Kalim, which is Shlamim, Toida, all the Kodshei Kalim. And the Beis HaMikdash would provide a service. They would provide a place, especially like these were like the ancient day, these were the ovens. These were like, that's how the ovens were set up. They had some type of stone and some type of area on the bottom where they would put fire, fuel, and fire would burn. And then there was an area where there was a place where you could insert your pot. People came with their pots. They came with their pots and pans. They brought it into the Chatzer HaChitzayna. Maybe they provided, maybe in the Beis HaMikdash they provided for them these pots.
And it said they probably provided because who knows of the pots and
pans. Kosher, kashrus.
No, not just kashrus.
Tara.
They might have been Tomei.
Tomei, correct. So this. So the Chor, they had tables. They had tables. They had picnic events. The Chor, they had over here along the area of the Chatzer HaChitzayna, there were picnic tables. Maybe they were allowed to go into these chambers.
How could they sit down to eat in yeshiva?
No, that's in the Azara itself. That's only inside the Azara. Okay. The Chatzer HaChitzayna, they're allowed. For sure they're allowed. Only inside they're not allowed. But outside, along the Chatzer HaChitzayna, they're certainly allowed to sit. And even the Kohanim, we had a discussion if they're allowed to sit. According to the Meiri, yes. The Meiri holds that the Kohanim were allowed to sit when they ate Korbanos. This that it says that you only ain't yeshiva la'azara ella l'malchei be'stav bilvad, that's only when you're not doing avoida, when you're not eating. Mm-hmm. But when you're eating, you mechoyev to sit because of the pasuk l'mashcha. The Korbanos must be eaten in a state of nobility. And nobility does not eat when they're standing. They eat when they're sitting. That's the Meiri's opinion. Okay, let's finish up over here. The Rashi, the Mitzudas. Let's record over time. So over here we have over here. Get one more time. Words over here. The pasuk of Gimel, the Mitzudas David. We have over here. There was one more time. The Tur Saviv Bohem Mitzudas of Gimel Shura Shalavanim Ruchabas Bobolta Me'achoyim Ha'Koysel Misaviv Samach Elakarku near the floor Uva, and in this Shura Shel Avanim there was Nikovim. There were holes. Uvahem, and in these holes, Yamidu Hakiderois, they inserted pots, Levashel Bohem Besar Kodoshim. Savivli Arbatom, this row was around all four walls of the Chotzer Hapinimit, Achachitzoina, Kenhoya Saviv Li Arbas Hachatzeros. He says, you know, he says a little bit different. He says along the outside, this is his interpretation, Rashi would be different. He learns that this is along the outside, is the outside, I think, of the four kachetzer. So he's learning a little bit different. Right, so he's learning a little bit different. I think Rashi is going to say different. He's learning that in this picture, we just finished learning there were four little boxes, 1, 2, 3, 4, on the outside, not on the inside. The inside was off limits.
Right.
But on the outside of these four boxes is where there was cooking set up for the people. Rashi and others are going to learn it was not on the outside of these four boxes only. It was along the entire four walls. What is the four? Is it the four chambers or the four walls? Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Vayomer Eli. Did I skip over here?
No.
Where am I up to over here?
You said that they didn't have any roofs.
Yeah.
Because of Asha. But there's
right.
No Asha.
So this is a borrowed term. It doesn't mean they were cooking inside those rooms. The way you describe a room that has no ceiling is a room of mikutaros. So it's just a borrowed term to describe. Pasuk of Dalit in the Mitzudos David. Vayomer Eloi Hamalach Adav B'Yomalai Hachatzer Soele Heim Beis Hamavashlim Ulutosefes Beur Omar Asher Yivashlu Sham. This area. Now he's Lishitasai that these four chambers along the outside, they're places where the people would cook, would prepare their korbanos.
Let's go back.
Pasuk of Gimel. Let's go back. Sav le'arbatam. Around, sorry, Sav le'arbatam. Kain hoysam is Sav le'arbas hachatzeros. Bevashlois asui v'tzad
lemar. What are you saying now?
Chav Gimel, in the middle of Chav Gimel, in the Mitzudas Tavil, where it says Sav l'arbatam. The Mitzudas learns that this place to cook was Kein Choysim Yisav l'arba ha-chatzeros. U'mevash l'ish osu, return l'omar, mikoymos ha-suis l'vash l'havi ha-ish ha-yu, the place where they would cook, mitachas ha-shuas ha-hein, Bechalol Shebeinim Elakarka. The place where the fire was put was between the ground and the stone protrusion upon which you would put the pots. Ve'akaderus Yamdu Mimal Benikve Hashuos. You would put the pots in. The fire was on the ground underneath the stone.
Underneath the stone.
And then in the stone there were holes. And in the holes you put the pots. On the ground is fire. There was a protrusion of stone coming out of the wall, and there were holes in the stone. You put the pots. These courtyards are meant for cooking. And don't confuse this with what we started with today, which is referring to the Kodesh HaKodashim. But over here, this is for Karvan Shom, which Kodesh HaKalim. Sheyesh lo'om chelek bohem. V'yakoyanim m'shar se'abai siyu mevashlim bo'ei lecha mekoyim. So he learns that who would be doing the cooking? The Koyhanim would do the service of preparing these dishes, this food. Bo'ei lecha mekoyim. Chelkam min hashlamim. V'hu echozeh v'shoik. They got their portion.
They got
every shlom the kohen gets chazav
shoyk. They cook their own
things. Ki chatzer achitzonuhu mokem kosher lachilas kodoshim kalim. So this is an area for the people, and the kohanim also took a portion. Where do they cook their portion? Not necessarily here. Wherever they wanted to, kohanim can eat wherever they want. But also when it says here zevach ha'am, this means for the common man, the kohanim. Also, he said, he learns the kohanim also prepared the portion of their shlum in this same area. Okay, let's turn to Rashi quickly. Rashi pasuk chav gimel tur sav bohem shuras nidbach choymas avonim boilet min hachoyma. There was a row of stone that extended from the wall. Saviv chutz laaretz uvoy, and in this sav all the way around. Samuch l'aretz, near the ground, it was a low. This protrusion, which extended from the wall of stone, was low. It was near the ground. Uvo, on this protrusion, there was nikavim. There were open areas. There were holes. Mikoyim, and in that hole is where you would put your pot. You would put your pot inside that hole, or you put the pot on a grate over that hole, and the fire was directly beneath that hole, which would cook the pot. Mikoyim shefisas kederos umitachas atur cholol. There was an open area lehasik bo'ur mitachtov. The pots were above. Okay, there's a wall, and coming out of the wall there is stone, and in the stone there are holes. In those holes, you would put a grate, put your pot, and underneath the hole you would put fuel, and it would cook the pot on top, like an oven. Where was this row? So the Mitzudo says this was only around on the outside of the four corners. Not everyone learns that. Rashi is going to say explicitly, this area was made for cooking. It was made for cooking the pots above it. Other Mefarshim, I can't quote you chapter and verse, but other Mefarshim learned that this was around everywhere. The Radak also learns like the Mitzudos. It was around the L'shochay So'ele. Okay, around the L'shochay So'ele. But someone else I know, I don't remember where I saw this, says this one. Oh, that's what the picture really shows. The picture shows it all the way around the wall. That's how they show it. Who are they taking it from? Rashi is silent. Rashi doesn't tell us exactly where it was. The Mitzudos and the Radak tell us it was only on the outside of these four chambers, but others say it was around the entire wall, and that's how the picture shows it. And that concludes Perek Mem Vav. So Yiratz Hashem, we will continue with Perek Mem Zayin when I get back from Yiratz Hashem in a week and a half. Two more parakim to go. I don't know the datsa. I don't know the datsa for. I don't know.
Rashi,
no one says anything.
No one
says. I don't know what it is.
No.
Follow them.